Like many cities across the nation, Governor Cuomo and de Blasio have extended the curfew for New York City till 8 o'clock at night for the rest of the week.
Put him to bed at like 4, like grandpa after his applesauce.
It's Anna and Raven. Did you have a curfew growing up, Raven?
You know, I did until I was like, I don't know, I want to say like a sophomore in high school. And then I just stopped listening when my parents spoke out loud.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I did it for a few years. I wouldn't recommend it.
I had a curfew until I went to college, like all throughout. First of all, I was never allowed to sleep at a friend's house.
Yeah.
Unless it was my cousin, Angela.
Right.
Because, you know, she's my cousin. But otherwise, we had to be home at 10 o'clock, not a minute past 10 o'clock at night. Till I went to college, till I turned 18.
Was it the same rule for your cousin? Like she couldn't sleep anywhere else but your house?
Yes. She got away with it a couple more times.
I was going to say, yeah. Because it's okay if you're in it together, truly together. But if that other person's got exceptions, you feel like you've got the worst childhood.
No, I think that she got older, like her junior and senior year, my aunt and uncle loosened up on her a little bit. But my parents never gave up on me.
No.
And the minute I got to college, man, I would be up till 4:30 in the morning.
Right.
Until they kicked me out of the bars just because I'd never gotten the chance to stay out late before.
But if you went home for the weekend, nope, daddy was waiting for you.
No. Once I went to college, they loosened up a lot about that. But then what were they going to do? Of course they did. Like, I wasn't living at home anymore. Are they going to call me at college to make sure I'm in my dorm room at 10:05?
Anything's possible, right?
What time do you think is an appropriate time for curfew? Because I was thinking about this. I'm like, is it different now? And if my daughter's only 11 and then I have the toddlers, so Dakota, she's only 18 months, so I haven't really had this problem yet.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not dealing with any younger kids myself. I think that logically you do the best that you can on a weekly basis, right? So, I mean, if you've got a good student, if you've got, you know, good trust with your kid, then you're going to be more lenient.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I would think so. If you don't have good trust, if you don't have, you know, faith in them to always make the right decision or a better decision of bad choices, then maybe you're going to have, you know, more stricter rules, I guess. And a lot depends, too, on where you live, how you live, all those things.
Well, I'm curious. 1-800-330-9999. If you have a curfew or your children have a curfew, what time is it? And how did you come to that conclusion that that was the appropriate time that they had to be home? Governor Cuomo and de Blasio have extended the curfew for New York City to 8 o'clock throughout the rest of the weekend. It's Anna and Raven. I heard the word curfew, and I was thinking about my curfew growing up because I was never allowed to do anything, ever.
Boy.
I had the strictest Italian parents that you could have.
Yeah.
And I remember 10 o'clock on the dot, I had to be in the door, and God forbid I wasn't.
I think that's a pretty respectable one, though, up to 15 or 16. I have to say,
up to 16, I wasn't allowed out of the house.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a little bit tougher then.
Yeah.
I think I had a TV curfew, too. That was tough, you know? Like, they'd be like, okay, no more. And nowadays, that would equate, I guess, to screen time.
Mm. Patricia wrote on our Facebook page, we asked what your curfew was or what your children's curfew is. I had a curfew or a bedtime. When I never had a curfew or a bedtime. I would be coming home at 6 a.m. when I was 14 or 15.
But,
doesn't seem right.
Okay.
Yep.
Wait. All right.
Troy wrote, okay, so this is depending on where you live. I grew up and you had to be cautious of animals after dark.
Wait a minute.
So basically what I'm getting at is those Stephen King books aren't as far-fetched as they seem. I guess if you're being attacked by a bear.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if you live in the area where bears and moose are roaming then I guess I would, cautious of that. I saw a deer this morning, not really the same thing.
Right. Jennifer was on the same page as me. 8 p.m. until she was 15 and then 9 p.m. after that till she was 18. I missed my high school boyfriend's birthday party because I had to be home before it even started.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yep. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What was your curfew?
No, I never had a curfew growing up. And my kids are older and out of the house now. But they never had a curfew because I just trusted them to come home like I did. And without a curfew, they never came home past 2 a.m.
Huh.
I mean,
2 a.m. is late, though.
Right. I mean, if they're 15, 16 years old, 2 a.m. is pretty late.
Well, I mean, they were fine, you know. It worked out for them. They're great adults now.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
When they're 8, I think I'd be looking for them outside.
You know, the 2 a.m. is mainly when they were like 17, 18 on the weekends.
That makes
them home a little bit earlier during during the week or when they were younger.
That makes a little more sense. All right, thank you for the call. I wonder if I just didn't set a curfew, what my kids would do. Like, yeah. I wonder for myself as a teenager, if I didn't have a curfew, what time I would come home. Mm. I don't know what I would do. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Did you have a curfew?
Growing up, my dad was in the military, and my curfew was always midnight. That was non-negotiable. So for my 17-year-old son, it's the same. You know, my dad would always say that nothing good happens after midnight. And honestly, I really have to agree with him. So that's the deal for my kids.
I mean, I must be crazy.
What
my 17-year-old would be coming home by 10 o'clock the latest.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your curfew rule?
Well, my rule is, you know, I've got a 16-year-old daughter, and my curfew is you can come home, you know, based on your age. She's 16, so she's got to be home at 10:16. Her birthday is actually 3 weeks, so she'll be able to come home at 10:17.
Mm. That's smart.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right. When she gets out of college, 10:24.
Right.
She better have her butt home. Right. I love it.
It's actually kind of funny if you think about it. Well, she's going to be like, when do I get to 11 o'clock? When does she get to 11 o'clock?
When she's out of the house.
When she's 62.
Right. There we go. Right. Governor Cuomo has extended a curfew in New York City until 8 o'clock. Question is, growing up, did you have a curfew? Or if you have kids, what was their curfew? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
My parents are strict. I had a curfew with TV, video games, with everything.
Mm.
My kids, they have curfew with phones.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's a good one.
So what time do you cut them off from their phones?
Like at 8:39, they have to get rid of them.
That's pretty generous, actually.
Hayden's cut off is 9:30.
Yeah.
What?
Well, recently, now that she doesn't actually go to school anymore.
My kids are 14, 8, 6, and 4. 9 is good. It's more than else.
Yeah, I mean, normal times, like, they'd have to be concerned with doing homework and stuff like that. Right now, like, I mean, what do you teach your kids?
It's a
survival
free-for-all.
Skills?
Just do whatever you want. What time was your curfew? You can head to our Facebook page, search Anna and Raven. Let us know there. When you need guidance, who do you turn to? Sharon Stone.
What?
Do you turn to Sharon Stone?
Of course you do. What do we need guidance on?
It's Anna and Raven. She came out with an Instagram PSA saying this.
We're going to make a safe room for you. Probably the safest bet that you have might be your bathroom because you have maybe the least windows or you're the most tucked in there.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. She's building a panic room?
Yeah.
Is that what she did?
Sharon Stone is building a panic room, and she wants to tell you how to do it if you want to do it in your house.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of unrest going on in Sharon Stone's neighborhood. I'm sure of that.
And all I kept thinking is, of course she's going to do it in her bathroom. Her bathroom is probably massive.
Yeah.
My bathroom is 6 square feet.
Right. Hers is 1,200.
I got to put me, my husband, and my daughters in there? There's no way.
So what does she say that we need in the panic room?
Well, first of all, here's what we need.
Okay. You want to take a cooler, you want to put water in there, and a few fruit or some protein bars.
That's it. That's what you got? What?
Wait a minute. I mean, in your bathroom, don't you also have faucets? You have water.
Like, why would you pack more water? That's where the water is.
I mean,
that
don't give up
sense.
And the cooler is never large enough if you're really packing for a day. Like, you need the other space for things like, you know, sandwiches.
Right. Okay, what else? What are the necessities?
Mm.
You want to put your cell phone or your computer chargers in there.
Okay, that makes sense.
Your computer, your extra cell phone.
Your extra cell phone. To me, I only think doctors or people that are doing things that are illegal
nefarious.
Have extra cell phones.
What is she, an arms dealer?
I don't understand.
What is happening?
I don't have an extra. Do you have an extra cell phone?
No, of course. I've never owned a burner phone in my life. I feel like if you buy a burner phone, there ought to be some sort of notification to the government immediately.
Right? Like, if the FBI didn't, like, give you the burner phone to protect your identity.
Right, here. We're going to call you on this with our voice disguise. But other than that, there's no reason to have a burner phone.
All right, so let's play What's in Your Panic Room. Ready, Raymond?
Oh, I love it, yeah.
All right, first, what room are you choosing in your house to be your panic room?
I got to go basement because I got everything I need. I got an Italian kitchen down there,
yep.
Right? I got water down there. I'm going to go with the basement. It's safe, obviously. It's surrounded in concrete,
mm-hmm.
and it's got its own exit. Plus, it has an inner room inside of there that has its own locks, too. So it's already a secure area.
All right.
By the way, the kitchen is in that separate secure panic room.
Oh, good. Because that's where the Italians like to keep their Italian kitchens.
It's true. It's also right. Where I have my emergency pandemic food storage. So I'm already good on
of course
that.
It is.
And a crank radio.
I agree with you. If I had to choose a room in my house, I would go with the basement as well. Because at least I can move in the bathroom. Right. No, I can't move.
If you put the three of you and the dog in the bathroom, somebody's on somebody's lap.
Oh, absolutely. I got to take a picture of my bathroom one day. You wouldn't even believe it. All right. So what's in your cooler? She put fruit and protein bars, which would be the last thing I put in mine.
Yeah. Again, the food storage is down there. So I'm in pretty good shape. I'm going to say coffee and creamer.
Yep.
I like some sandwiches. You know, they don't keep very long. But the first day or so, you'll be good before the bread gets soggy.
Well, I mean, you can only use your panic room for like 6 hours.
You know, my wife loves to have a cool drink.
Right.
So ice is important.
I agree with you on the coffee. I would just bring my whole coffee machine into the basement.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. Puffed. What I've learned through the quarantine is here are the things that my family needs to survive.
Okay.
Puffed Cheetos.
Puffed Cheetos.
And Milano cookies.
Oh, the two of those.
That's basically it. And then for me, it'd be bottles of, you know, Josh Cabernet, the reserve though, not the regular one. That gives me a headache. And then George Clooney's Casamigos tequila.
Is that all? What else do we need?
Well, you need your necessities. So what would be, she said the chargers and her extra phones, the 17 that she has, I guess.
Well,
what would you bring yours?
Yeah, the chargers is smart. I didn't actually think of that. I would go with like dog food because I got to have the puppies.
Mm-hmm.
Wipes, of course, because you know I like to live like a champion. I want to be clean.
It's weird.
Doritos.
Yeah.
Nothing pacifies my wife like Doritos. Trail mix, because it's my only time that I can eat all that candy and have no excuses.
Yeah.
A hatchet. I watch a lot of Survivor shows, and everybody always brings a hatchet, so I feel like that's a good idea. And then duct tape, because if you've ever seen a space movie, they save everything with duct tape.
I would just bring things to keep my kids occupied so I wouldn't lose my mind. So Hayden's laptop, my 11-year-old, so she could play Roblox all day, basically like she does now.
Good
and then
plan.
Dakota's naked Barbies. She's 18 months, and for some reason, none of her Barbies have clothes.
Yeah, my sisters were the same way.
I don't understand it.
That's all I need to know about you.
What's wrong?
It's Anna and Raven. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. If you buy something that's clearly coming from China on Facebook and then you don't understand why 2 months later it's still not here, that's all I need to know about you.
What did you buy?
So, don't make fun of me.
Okay.
Don't make fun of me.
Okay, right. It's not COVID kits, is it?
So, I'm an adult.
Wow.
And one of my best friends is also an adult.
Okay.
Yep. So, sure. Danielle and I were, we went through a period like most tweens.
Sounds like a disclaimer.
We're obsessed with TikTok.
Okay.
But what we noticed about TikTok was a lot of the girls were wearing these really cool tie-dye jumpsuits. So, we decided.
On the social media.
On TikTok, yeah.
Okay,
everybody's wearing these tie-dye jumpsuits. Like, you know, like the sweatpants and the sweatshirt, but they're tie-dye.
Sure.
So, Danielle and I decide we also need tie-dye jumpsuits.
Good. Good. I mean, you're grown women. Who's wearing them on TikTok? Is everybody grown women and children alike? Okay.
Well, it's not really grown women. It's like
Chrissy Teigen and children.
Right.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay.
Good
so
to
we
know.
Decide we also need TikTok.
Of course.
Tie-dye. But
is Kate Hudson making them yet? Of course. Let's get it.
But they're sold out everywhere.
Okay.
Every major department store is sold out of them.
So you had to go online to Gingzhou, China.
So I'm on Facebook and we're talking about it. And I'm on Facebook and I'm scrolling as we're having a conversation. And like one of those ads pop up.
Of course.
I go, Here they are.
Right.
And she was like, and at that point we had a glass of wine. She goes, well, they're probably going to be back stock. And I click it, goes, no, it says they're in
stock. No, it says
they're
ready to ship
right now.
We're ready to go.
She goes, are we going to get matching tie-dye jumpsuits? I go, yes, we are.
I think we just did.
$40 each. I bought it. I go, I'm buying it for you because you're my best friend.
Right.
And I love you.
Pouring another glass of wine.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And they're not here yet.
$80 later. I get an email with the confirmation for the tracking number.
Yeah.
So I click on it, and it's all in Chinese.
Good.
And I go, I don't know if I just downloaded, like, a virus onto my phone.
You're a spy now, if you didn't know that. You're a spy already at this point. And meanwhile, your jumpsuits are probably on a container ship somewhere in the middle of the ocean.
But do you even think that they're real? Do you even think that they're coming?
I don't know.
Because it's been 8 weeks at this point. It said they were ready to ship.
It'll already be out of style by the time they get here.
That's all I need to know about you. What's wrong with me? Why did I think that was normal? What is wrong with me?
A moment of weakness.
Oh.
If you only have your driving lights on, you know, just the front lights that come on automatically with cars now, if you only have those on at like 9, midnight, and 4, and not like your regular lights, that's all I need to know about you. Also, you're also an idiot if you have your fog lamps on at noon, if you're one of those people that's driving around.
What if it's foggy?
It's not foggy at noon here. This is not Seattle.
Well,
9:30 in the morning.
Yeah, yes. No, I guess you're
okay,
right.
Right.
Yeah.
After that, no.
That was very in the 90s, just to ride around with your fog lights.
It's ridiculous to me. And it's usually some, like, you know, let's face it. You got the fog lamps at, like, Advance Auto. You put them on there on a weekend.
Yeah.
It's probably some wires tucked up in the back with some duct tape. Right. Just, I mean, both of them. Use your lights when you're supposed to have your lights on, people.
Remember when we used to illuminate the ground around our car? There was that lighting
that
used to go. That
the underlighting. Yeah. Right. Oh, that was cool?
Yeah. Are you mad that I didn't buy you a tie-dye jumpsuit, too?
No, I would rather have you get me under-car lighting for my CX-5 at this point.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Two listeners reached out to me in the last 48 hours, Raven, and each of them had these different stories, and I was so moved by each of them that I just had to talk about it. It's really incredible. It's Hannah and Raven. So first, in Smithtown on Long Island, an entire neighborhood came together and they surprised their UPS driver, Gregory Watkins Sr. They surrounded his truck on their street. They had a beautiful plant and a gift in their hands. And one of them stepped forward and said this.
You know, you're an essential worker, but you've always been essential to us. You know our families. We know your families. We adore you. And we just want to say thank you.
So amazing.
And there was a lot of cheering. And then, this is a crowd. It's like the whole street. There's like 40 people here. And then he says this.
Again, you know, it's a pleasure to be in this area and just to get to know everybody here. I'm watching your kids grow. I'm watching them start to drive. I'm getting old. I have about another 2 years on this route, so I'm blessed to know each and every one of you. Blessed. And just thank you so much.
The video is so heartwarming. If you go to our Facebook page, Anna and Raven, I shared it there. I had to. It's like, it brought like tears to my eyes to like see that.
Do you love your mailman enough? That's the question you need to ask yourself now,
you know,
Anna.
The truth is, like, clearly they've had Greg for a long time.
Yeah.
My mailman, I think, changes every 6 months. It's always somebody different.
Oh, you haven't done enough outreach. You need to go meet your mailman and find out what's up.
I want to know why everybody hates our route so much.
I loved my old mailman.
Yeah.
The other house, it was great. And I think that the mailman that I have here resented that at first, but he was replaced a couple of years ago. So I know the guy now, and he just got his permanent route. You're doing a great job, Mike. Great job.
Second story came to me late last night from Vicky in Shelton, Connecticut. She sent me pictures of her mailman, Ed. Now, what did Ed do? I'll read to you exactly what Vicky wrote to me last night. He decorated his mail truck for the 2020 graduates, one of which is my daughter, on his route. He brought them gifts and made it very special for them. He made every one of the graduates a poster and found where they were going to college. And from the looks of it, he looked up each college to personalize it. These pictures are so beautiful, Raven. Mm. Like, he took all the time to find every graduating senior on his route and made these posters. I'm going to put these on Facebook, too, right now. Like, let's give it up for our carriers. We really haven't been...
carriers.
How incredible. Like, you don't realize, like, they're out there doing their thing every day.
Never
and going
stopped.
Above and beyond. So, yay. That's all. I had to share that. Come on. That's beautiful. Do you swear? And if you swear, does it make you feel better? Is that why you do it? It's Anna and Raven.
I find that I have days where I don't swear at all. I mean, and string a lot of them together. And then I have other days where all of a sudden I'm swearing left and right. And I'm using it very creatively in spaces where it doesn't even make sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think I only swear if I'm very, very upset. And, mm-hmm. and according to all this new research, there's actually a good reason for it. This is Dr. Roger Stevens. He's the director of psychology at Keele University.
We've done research before that shows that swearing does seem to help people cope with pain. The swearing is setting off a natural pain-relieving phenomenon called stress-induced analgesia.
Stress-induced analgesia.
Algesia?
Algesia. Yeah, and it actually
does. I just booked a trip for that.
Algesia?
I'm going to Algesia. They have the best beaches. Going there this fall.
But they're saying what it does is actually it triggers something in the brain that it's almost like this... fight or flight kind of...
Like an endorphin.
Yes,
something
exactly.
Something like that. Okay.
And it actually can make you tolerate pain longer than if you did not swear.
Oh, okay. So I guess those guys screaming in your gym were kind of doing something?
Yeah!
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Like, get it up, bro!
It's true. But what they did, and they continued on in this, which I thought was very interesting, is a lot of us use word substitutions.
Okay.
You can't always, and you should not always, be using these inappropriate words that are offensive to some people.
Of course.
But what they did is they found out that the fake swear words, like the ones that you make up, just can't compete with the real thing when it comes to tolerating pain.
It's like decaf. It's like the decaf of swear words.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not really going to help you in that situation.
Like every once in a while, I'll yell, darn it.
Uh-huh.
And it just doesn't feel good.
Doesn't feel good enough.
Right. What's your, like, what's the word that you use to substitute using a real swear word?
I think that I just, you know, most of the time it's like, you know, Samity Sam. I'll just go into mumbling and blithering to myself, you know. The older I get, the worse they become, too.
Yeah. So I guess we can't always use swear words because, like we've said,
right,
it's not nice. So 1-800-330-9999. What's the word that you use so you don't swear? That go-to word that's your substitution for a bad word.
It's got to be toeing the line, though, too. You want to make it like a radio edit, right? It's
got
to be something that when somebody hears it, they go, whoa, they know you're mad. But then they think it over in the head and they're like, well, they didn't actually say anything bad.
They said it politely. Again, that's 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. Yeah. New research is looking at the way that swearing helps us tolerate pain longer. And it's true. There's actual science behind it at Santa and Raven. But what they found is that if you use imitation swear words, which I think a lot of us do because it's not polite to swear, it doesn't have the same relief effects on our brains that if you use the actual swear word.
It's fake, man. It's fake. It's decaf.
Right.
The decaf of your pain relief for swearing.
So what this study set out to do, here's Dr. Emma Byrne. She's explaining it.
I am really fascinated as to whether or not it's possible to create a swear word that isn't also offensive. So if we can find something else that has the positive effects of swearing without the side effects of offending the people around you, that would be terrific.
They threw some of these out there and rejected all of them.
Okay.
Ranktangler.
Ranktangler.
Right. Ranktangler!
I mean, actually, that one I kind of like.
You
it's
like
just
that?
All about how you deliver it.
Bolterkump.
That one sounds questionable.
Mm-hmm. Zars.
That one's no good.
Spinker.
No, that one sounds like, you know what? That one could be discriminatory. I don't like that one.
Okay.
That one sounds a little too offensive to me.
1-800-330-9999. What is the word that you use instead of swearing, your alternate swear word? It's Anna and Raven.
Sugar honey iced tea.
Sugar honey iced tea. Yes, a classic, but still good. Sugar honey iced tea does the job well.
Yeah.
Remember the first time you figured out what that meant when you were young? You were like, oh, that's great.
Wait. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Do you know I never really realized it?
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
I just thought it was like, you know, instead of saying, you know what, you say sugar, but then you just keep going because, I don't know, you're creative. But that's not.
No, it's not.
Sugar, honey, iced tea.
Thank you. You just figured out an acronym. Gosh. Thank you. And Rick, what is your replacement swear word?
Since I'm a teacher, and I can't really swear very much in school and not get fired. Yeah. I say, shut the front door.
Shut the front door. I love that. Raven. Leslie Mann delivered that in This Is 40, and I've loved that phrase ever since. Well done, ma'am. Well done.
You say that a lot, shut the front door.
Oh,
you say that a lot, right?
It feels
here.
Good. It just comes out strong.
Yeah. Hi, Anna and Raven. What words do you use instead of swear words?
I use the word Mojo Jojo from the Powerpuff Girls. Mm-hmm. I did replace them a couple of words.
That's a good one.
What is a Mojo Jojo?
Oh, I can tell you what it is right now.
Mojo
Don't
Rojo?
Don't tell us what it is, because then we'll all be in trouble.
No, but how do you say it? Mojo Flojo?
I just say, like, Mojo Jojo, you know.
Right.
Mojo Jojo.
Right, because that was just gonna, it was going to rip out. The other one was going to rip right out her mouth.
I still don't understand what it's supposed to be for.
Are you serious? Don't. We can't spell it out. We're going to get in trouble.
I mean, I
know
like
what you mean, ma'am.
Like, mom, mom, blah, blah.
I know exactly what you mean, ma'am.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What word do you use instead of swears?
Well, this is a word a friend of mine used to always say because she didn't want to curse. You're too
That's really close. I mean, I'm afraid to play that on the radio. I got to be honest with you.
Like, you don't have to, but I had to share it. It's like, we can't that I
want. We might have to beep it out, even though it's not bad.
Right.
Have a great day, you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Have a good day.
All right, you want to chime in too? Call us at 1-800-330-9999. What words do you use instead of swears? Researchers found out that there's actually a reason why we feel better when we swear. There's something in our brain that actually releases endorphins that help us feel better when we say these bad words.
Sweet.
It's Anna and Raven. But what they wanted to do was create a bad word that wasn't really offensive to people, because let's be honest, it's not nice to swear.
The saccharin of swear words is what you're saying.
Right.
Right. But, a substitute.
Still, yeah, but still have like that positive effect on the brain where you're not feeling as much pain and you're getting that relief that's actually saying the bad word.
What'd they come up with?
So after extensive research, scientists came up with two words they thought might work, and they conducted a test group. Here they are testing the words while they were putting these people through pain.
Fouch. Fouch.
Fouch!
Twist pipe.
Twist pipe. Twist pipe.
Twist pipe and fouch were the two that they, after extensive research, decided.
And then they're inflicting pain.
Yep.
Did they work?
Well, good question.
We found that swearing helps pain thresholds as well as pain tolerance. However, did Fouch and Twistpipe help people cope? No, not at all.
I wouldn't think so. I just feel like we need to report this to somebody there. They can put all the fancy music they want behind it, but it sounds like there are terrible things happening to people somewhere in a building somewhere.
It's an interesting research project, but let's be honest. That swearing does sometimes give you relief. But
of course it does.
But you're not supposed to swear. So what is the replacement word that you use so you don't actually say one of those bad words? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What's yours?
Oh, tease it twice.
You what?
Say it again.
Oh, tease it twice.
It's harder to even say it incorrectly than to say it the other way.
Right. Right. I don't know if I could do that one. It would take some practice.
Trying to be a good Catholic, you're trying to model for your kids.
That's funny. Anna and Raven, what word do you use instead of a swear word?
Okay, for the S word, I replace it with, pit. And then the B word, I'll say, you switch.
Rhyming things.
I catch myself, but I rhyme my swear words.
I would rhyme too, but I'm pretty sure I would screw up somewhere along the way.
It's like trying pig Latin, right?
Yeah.
It works for a moment when you're in high concentration, and then after that, you've blown it.
Right.
And now you're suspended.
Right.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you. And on Raven, what's the alternate word that you use so you don't swear?
Mother freaker.
See, Hayden.
What the frick?
Hayden started, my 11-year-old said freak one time. She's like, what the freak? And I yelled at her.
Right,
I told her
grounded.
It was a bad word. And then I was like, is it really a bad word? And then I'm like, if you're using a substitute word, is it really still?
On Gold Rush, Alaska, that's when you know somebody's really, really mad on the mining site.
When they say freaking?
Frig.
Oh, frig. Oh, yeah.
Frig's bad, man. Thanks for the call. There's something wrong with the sluice box. What the frig?
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad.
And Raven, what's the alternate word you use to swear?
Well, do you remember the show Battlestar Galactica? They had the word fracking, F-R-A-C-K-I-N-G.
Fracking.
They used it continuously.
Fracking right after fricking. It's the same family.
We're just trying to find different words that start with the letter F.
They're tough. They're tough cousins, all right? They're
what's
angry
the
cousins.
What's
have a great
the
morning,
fruit
man.
Loops?
And Raven, what's your substitute swear?
Frigabos.
I don't like frig.
You know what you're going for.
It's kind of like a fig, and I don't like figs either, or Fig Newtons. Those are disgusting, disgusting cookies.
Figs are healthy and delicious, and Fig Newtons are very tasty. They are the tastiest of the dry cookies.
They're fake cookies.
They don't even deserve to be called cookies. All right. You know what? I can't deal with you.
Frigabos.
I like the way you did it. Thank you, ma'am. And I like Fig Newtons.
Yeah.
And Raven, replacement swear word.
I always say sushi.
Right.
Yeah. Sushi sounds messy.
It doesn't really bring me anger. It brings me joy.
It sounds to me like you're done with them. Sushi means I wash my hands of you.
Dragon roll. No.
Thank you for the call.
Wasabi.
All right. Anna and Raven, what is your replacement swear word?
Mother Nature.
You've taken something beautiful and made it so sad.
But that's the thing is Mother Nature is so powerful. Anna and Raven, what is your replacement swear word?
Mother Father.
Yeah.
Believe me. It goes, Mother Father.
Wow.
Yeah, when you said it like that, I almost hit the dump button.
Mother, father, aunt, uncle, cousin.
All right, this is enough.
Stepfather.
Oh, my God. Stop repeating it.
Third aunt, twice removed. Second cousin.
Right, don't make me pull this mother, father car over.
Right.
I'm going to whip your mother. Oh, I got to go.
Thank you
for the call.
We're going to get in trouble. Anna and Raven, what's an alternate swear word that you use?
Anna, I am beautiful, intelligent, talented, charming, and hot to death.
Oh, I got you now.
And I am a female up in this place.
Right.
Yeah, you go.
Right. Are you still trying to spell it in your head? Because I can write it down and show it to you.
No, Anna. I got it. I spelled it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you just saying that?
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Right.
Thank you for the call, dear.
Have a problem? Anna's daughter Hayden can tell you what to do.
Don't get in trouble after 5 p.m. Otherwise, you'll probably get dessert taken away from you.
Love issues?
If he doesn't show up on a horse on your first date, he's probably not pregnant.
Life problems?
Just tell your boss the truth. You want to put a playground with a slide in your office building so you can have recess during the work day.
Life advice with Hayden Zeff.
Ever need life advice? You could always ask my 11-year-old daughter, Hayden. Email her, Hayden@annaandraven.com. She's always got something to say, even though she doesn't know what she's talking about most of the time.
I mean, she's not a doctor, but when you go in, do you really fact check those diplomas and degrees and stuff that you see hanging on the walls at your doctor's office? No!
Right.
All right, Hayden. Today's email says, Hayden, just looking for some ideas. Today, I had to make the difficult decision to cancel my girls' trip for the summer. Mm. Every summer, I take my two daughters that are 15 and 17 away. This year, we had planned to go to the Dominican Republic, but I just don't feel comfortable. The problem is, I don't know how to tell my girls without them getting upset. They've already had so much disappointment this year. Any suggestions on how I can make it better?
Well, what I think you could do is have a big birthday parade, but it won't be for the birthday. Everyone will be holding signs saying, sorry, but your trip got canceled. And they can't be mad because all their friends are there saying sorry.
Right, but don't you think that's a disappointment? And they're like, it's not my birthday. Why is there 3 miles of cars back with balloons and streamers?
Well, it's a surprise birthday parade breaking bad news. So it's bad, but good.
I see. Any other suggestions if she doesn't want to have a parade to tell them?
So, you know, if you go to a grocery store, they basically write anything on birthday cakes. So just go to the grocery store and have them write, sorry, our trip got canceled. Hope you enjoy this cake tonight.
I don't know if either of those will work, but I guess both are better than just nothing, right?
Yeah.
This is the voice that Hayden gives me when she thinks that I'm an idiot as her mom. Ready?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, Ma.
Ma.
Yeah,
right.
Ma.
And the
What's
eyes,
your idea?
Right. Into right. the corner. Right.
Yeah.
Imagine if the pandemic and COVID had changed the way that we delivered messages like that forever, right? So, like, you know, like instead of when you're at the Yankee game, right, and on the Jumbotron, it's not will you marry me or the kiss cam, it's I'm filing for divorce.
Right. There right. you go.
Papers are yep. in the mail.
Right.
Expect to be served later this afternoon.
There's a whole new generation.
Write that on a new cake, right? I've waited the 90 days. Now today, your stuff is on the front lawn.
I just keep wondering, with these birthday parades, are we going to just, like, when this
Will
is
they
all
be
over?
Over?
Right. Are you still going to be mad if you're not getting a birthday parade on your birthday?
You'll never drive by somebody's house again after that.
If you need advice, email me, Hayden@annaandraven.com. That's Hayden@annaandraven.com. See you next week. Bye.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what they're arguing about, and then you judge who's right. Al and Christine. Christine, I'd like to start with you. What's going on?
Yeah, well, my oldest daughter is going to be a senior at Ithaca this year, and she lives alone. My youngest daughter was just accepted, and she's going to be a freshman. They've announced that classes are going to start in October. I feel like my youngest daughter should move in with her sister. I mean, we're going to save money. You know, it's going to be safer than living in the dorms. And I'm nervous about that right now. What happens, you know, like if classes get canceled? My older daughter, she's not into that. But my younger daughter doesn't really care. Husband here doesn't want to put them together. He doesn't think that's fair.
Al, why?
Yeah, what's your side of this, Al? Go for it.
Well, did you go to college? Did you have your brother or your sister living with you?
I did not, but
my brother went to my college.
But did he? He didn't live with you.
No,
obviously, you were in a sorority.
Yeah, but if it was my sister, it would be different.
I mean, if she was your sister, that's the thing. She would have to pledge. What if she didn't want to pledge? What if she didn't want your lifestyle?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with it. She has an off-campus apartment.
Yeah, but one is a senior and one's a freshman, and maybe she feels like that's going to change her experience on both sides. Like, if you're a freshman, the dorm thing.
Her point of view, I love her. I love both of my kids, but I think they need their own experience at the same point. You know what I mean? You know, when I went to school, I was able to do my own thing. I got in trouble when I got in trouble. Mm. I did smart things when I did smart things.
Right.
You have your own experience. And I don't think that Samantha should have to deal.
There is something to be said about being able to make your own mistakes and having no witnesses, right?
Yes, but I think the bigger question here that Christine brought up is, does the pandemic change things? Because now you've taken her out of a big communal situation and you're putting her just with her sister.
Yeah, it's going to be old news maybe by then. You just don't know.
Thank you.
The school might not even happen, though.
Right, that's the thing. It could be old news at that point. You don't know.
So it could be moot point. It could all be a moot point.
Honey, it's an unprecedented time, right? I mean, do you care more about the safety of our children?
Of course
they can have unique
experiences.
Well, what we do is ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Christine. Given the situation, it's probably better off that she's living just with her sister, like you know, she's been doing for the last few months anyway, and then you can see what happens. And then maybe the following year, well, obviously, because your older daughter will graduate, so I guess this will
all
be
an issue. Right, so you'll ruin her life, but
Truth is, I like that they're both living home right now.
Right, I'm sure.
I love having them both home.
So, Christine, our audience may agree with you. Let them be together. Let them live by themselves off campus. And your older daughter's just going to have to suck it up for the time being. Maybe after the first semester, you can reevaluate. Al, they may see your side, too, that if this was quote-unquote normal times, this would be a non-conversation. So just let them go and have her live in the freshman dorms like she was going to. She's got to make her own friends. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
I agree.
Yeah, I say why not?
Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Christine and Al have two daughters. One is going into her senior year at Ithaca, and the other is going to be going there as a freshman, which is exciting. But Christine thinks that her older daughter has an off-campus apartment where she lives by herself. She says, given the pandemic and the situation, maybe instead of starting in the freshman dorms, she should, the freshman daughter, live with her sister. Mm. Daddy does not agree.
Yeah, Mom might think that is a wonderful solution, and they've been so close their whole lives. But the whole point of going to college, right, is to figure out who you are and to figure out your own thing.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I'm on the father's side. Well, I don't think that any senior wants to have an 18-year-old hanging out with her. And I don't think that a freshman should be with a senior at all. A freshman needs to go to college, have an experience, live on their own, make some friends, you know, do the communal bathroom thing. Mm-hmm. It's all part of the experience.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's all part of growing up. Thanks for the call. I do get where Mom's coming from, where she wants them to be safe. And obviously, there's an economic thing to consider, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like once the kids get back to school, I'm hopeful anyways that I think the pandemic stuff is going to be more rear view.
Well, let's hope so. I'm confused on this myself. I'm kind of torn down the middle. But here's what I do know. Wearing flip-flops in the shower and the communal bathroom, if anybody can avoid that, I would suggest that very much.
It's got to make your immune system stronger.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Christine and Al have two daughters. Their older daughter is going into senior year at Ithaca, and now their freshman daughter will also be going to Ithaca. Christine thinks they should live together in an off-campus apartment because, one, it'll save money, and two, with the pandemic, who knows what's going to happen?
Dad thinks it's a terrible idea. Their youngest needs to get the dorm experience, and their oldest needs to celebrate her senior time.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I'm on the guy's side. I feel like since it's out of the ordinary situation, it would need to be a win-win. Everybody has to be on board. And to the wife's concern, I feel like the universities are going to be taking so many precautions that the campuses are going to be safer than ever.
Yeah, great point. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Tana and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
I'm on the dad's side because actually it's like there was kind of the same situation with me, actually, with my older sister. She is 2 years older than me, and she lived in a separate house, and I lived in a dorm my first year. I think it's just better to, like, it's a better way to make new friends and to be in the dorm and experience, you know, your first year there.
Yeah, it's good to broaden your horizons.
Yeah, you have to learn how to be on your
own. You have to meet different people, and you have to learn how to survive amongst a bunch of other types of different people.
Yeah, the only thing that concerns me is the whole pandemic thing. That's really the wrench in it. Hi, it's Hannah and Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
Well, first of all, I'm a graduate of Ithaca College, so great place that they're going to.
Nice.
Used to have a rule that freshmen have to live in the dorm. So this might be a moot point to begin with.
I feel like there's probably a lot of rules that are on hold right now at this moment. But yeah, that's an interesting point.
Yeah.
If they do loosen that up, then I'm on the side of, you know, let them live separate. You know, they're college kids. They have to have their own lives.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Al, our audience agreed with you. Granted, Christine, people definitely understand where you're coming from, but you can't rob an experience from your older daughter and an experience for your younger daughter. This was going to be the original plan. This is the plan, and she's going to go in the freshman dorms.
We could all be feeling very differently after October, health-wise and psychologically. This could be over. Let's hope it's regular life, and the start of this new chapter for both of them is without speed bumps.
True.
Yeah. Right. I can only hope. I mean, what are we going to do? I guess I also hate that dad audience votes with dad. Not sure where they're coming from on that.
There's always a way that we could find a way to make it work where mom is happy.
It's an uncertain time, so you're just doing your best with the best information you have at hand now.
Yeah. If you have a problem, too, send an email. I'm sorry. Couplescourt@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, it's David. How are you?
Good. David, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Hi, Raven. Can you please leave the room if you sure. don't mind?
Yeah, no problem. Good luck, Dave.
All right, here's how it works. I got $400 on the line for you right now. If you can beat Raven in these five pop culture questions, that cash is all yours. He beats you, we throw another $100 in the pot. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll bring them back into the studio, David, and ask him the same five questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it still goes to Raven. You ready to play?
Sounds good, Anna. Thank you.
Number one, Sharon Stone gave a step-by-step instruction on how to turn your bathroom into a panic room, which includes bringing a pillow and your anxiety medication. What 1992 movie did she star in with Michael Douglas where she played a psychopath?
Oh, that's easy. Basic Instinct.
Number two, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes is a prequel to the Hunger Games trilogy and has just been released. Who is the author?
Suzanne Collins.
Number three, reports indicate that Henry Cavill may return to play Superman in the upcoming DC movie. What home planet is Superman from?
It is Krypton, I think.
Number four.
Is that right?
Krypton. Well, we're going to find out. Number four, photographer Mark Seliger is selling a bunch of his most famous photos to raise money for COVID-19 relief, and that includes his famous nude portrait of Jennifer Aniston. What Apple TV streaming service does she star in alongside Steve Carell and Reese Witherspoon?
I don't know. Apple TV show.
I'm going to go on. Number five, David.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Macaulay Culkin was cast for the upcoming season of American Horror Story. Culkin is best known for his work in the Christmas classic Home Alone. What was the name of Macaulay Culkin's character in Home Alone?
Oh, Macaulay Culkin. I saw that. They just saw that movie. I think Kevin or something.
All right. I need his full name. Give me his full name.
Kevin McAllister, I think, something like
that. Nah, you're Googling. I'm not giving you that one. It took too long. Let me bring Raven back in. Come on, Raven.
All right, how do you do?
Well, I'm giving him 3 out of 5 because he was definitely Googling that last answer.
It seemed to take a bit while I was out there.
Yeah, I was a little bit lenient.
I didn't Google that one.
We're going to need a timer in here, I think, moving ahead. When the money's on the line, people get creative. All right, what do you got?
Number one, Sharon Stone gave a step-by-step instruction on how to turn your bathroom into a panic room, which includes bringing a pillow and your anxiety medication.
Yes.
What 1992 movie did she star in with Michael Douglas where she played a psychopath?
Basic Instinct, and that movie holds up. That is a great movie still.
Number two, The Ballad of
Song. That is a great movie. I think all the guys love that one.
Mm. I'm sure they do. Number two, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes is a prequel to the Hunger Games trilogy and has just been released. Who is the author?
Hunger Games is written by Collins. It's Collins, isn't it?
Suzanne Collins.
Collins!
I'll give you that one.
Oh, of course you're going to give it to me. I didn't say Joan Collins.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Doesn't she write romance novels?
Number three.
Must be her mother.
Reports indicate that Henry Cavill may return to play Superman in an upcoming DC movie. What home planet is Superman from?
Oh, my gosh. He's from Krypton.
Yeah, you guys are tied.
And Henry Cavill's a great Superman. I hope they bring him back.
Number four, photographer Mark Seliger is selling a bunch of his most famous photos to raise money for COVID-19 relief, including his famous nude portrait of Jennifer Aniston. What Apple TV streaming service does she star in alongside Steve Carell and Reese Witherspoon?
Apple TV.
What Apple TV streaming service series? Excuse me.
Isn't it Newsroom?
No, it's The Morning Show.
Oh!
All right, number five. Macaulay Culkin was cast for the upcoming season of American Horror Story.
Yes!
Culkin is best known for his work in the Christmas classic Home Alone. What was the name of Macaulay Culkin's character in Home Alone?
Oh, Kevin. He's Kevin.
I'm not going to give that to either of you. Because,
what?
Yeah, because
it's
Kevin McAllister.
I get that. Thank you very much.
Either way, David, that's not going to be enough to beat him today.
Thank you.
Your own Anna and Raven t-shirt, but we are going to get another $100 in the pot. We'll make it $500 tomorrow morning.
All right. Awesome. Can't beat Raven, but I tied him this time.
All right, I'll take it. Have another shot for you to win $500 coming up tomorrow morning. And remember, the cheat sheet, the first two answers to tomorrow's five pop culture questions, noon and five today.
Better luck next time.